Hello, my friends. Welcome back. It's the Naked Songwriter Podcast with Astrology Component, featuring your friend and mine, DK Brainerd. You know, this is going to be a fantastic podcast. It's going to be terrific. It's going to be tremendous. So the best podcast the world has ever seen. I got to work on my Trumpster mimicry, but I'm really excited about this. I'm not lying to you. Got a new song for you. I don't know if you call it a song. It's more of a meditation-y, moody piece designed to make you feel good. There's a story behind it. And in fact, it's kind of the story of the astrology of 2017, beginning with the first sign of the zodiac, Aries, which we're in now, and the first new moon of the astrological year, which happened last Monday, I think. Sunday or Monday. So I'm going to tell you about that. I'm going to tell you about the Sabian symbol for the new solar lunar year. And I got to thank the great Laura Walker over at oraclereport.com for tuning me into the whole solar lunar year beginning thing. I think she's onto something. But, you know, I've heard a lot of, or I've read a lot of blogs about the Sabian symbol for this year, and none of them really made sense. And then I got the tune in on Thursday. So I'm going to tell you about that. And what else am I going to tell you? I actually took notes. Check it out. I'm trying to, you know, streamline a little bit, ramble a little bit less, or ramble with more purpose. I'll keep rambling. Don't worry about that. A little bit of the piece that I'm going to play for you later. Just a little sneak preview, a little taste. You're going to like it. You're going to really wish you were listening on good headphones, though, because it gets pretty intense, man. I was walking around Sprouts, which is the local ATL, kind of like a little cheaper version of Whole Paycheck. You know, good food, bulk products for the edification of the body, mind, and spirit. And I just wanted to listen to this because I was trying to get the bass right, the timbre of the bass that I recorded. And it was bugging me earlier, and I thought I had it, but you know how that goes, right? And I'm walking around, and I got it cranked up in my earbuds, and I was just like, whoa, man, I'm floating through the store. I'm like, oh, this is really intense, man. I got to tell you, man, the music has been just flowing through me, and I haven't felt like that. In fact, most of this week, I felt really blocked. But I just, you know, kept showing up, I kept doing as much as I could. Been working on the house too this week. We finally so close to getting the bedroom floor completely finished, which means we're gonna have a bedroom. I could cry. I mean, my son's gonna sleep in there, right? But then at least I can be out in the living room, the living area at night, rather than banished to a room with plywood subfloors and cardboard boxes, or down in my office, which is now really beautiful. Hasn't been painted yet, but the insurance settlement came through a few weeks ago, and had some really cool Mexican dudes in my basement for most of 3 weeks, and they did a great job, and it like smells so good down here. It's just, oh, I might cry on this podcast, so just so you know. I've been crying a lot lately, and it's actually like good crying. So not that there's, I guess there are bad and good crying, right? But I also want to tell you about why this is such a really cool time to work with your ancestors. So as you know, I'm teaching a webinar series with a colleague of mine, Dr. Diana Quinn, or Dr. Diana in Lakesh. And, you know, it's like, I don't want to do anything just to do it. I want to do things that I want to do, right? And we both felt that way about this workshop. And it's working with the ancestors and then working with some findings from the field of epigenetics, which is basically, you know, as far as I understand the science of it, and I'm not a biology person, I'm biological as far as I know, but I'm not a biology person. Epigenetics seems to say that, you know, we all get some crummy genes passed down, right? Where we're coded for addiction and, or, you know, heart disease or whatever it is in your family tree. And also, you know, the interesting thing is like prenatal trauma and childhood trauma, and just it can be personal, and we've all had that personally, but it can also be things like growing up during a war, you know, growing up in an inner city where there are sirens going off and people getting killed around you and stuff. It like turns on these negative gene expressions, which kind of lead to these diseases, mental, physical, emotional, whichever. But the really cool news about epigenetics, and a lot of you probably have heard of Bruce Lipton, The Biology of Belief, but it's along those lines. But it's like there's these things you can do that turn those messages back off. So the message that says, you know, I'm genetically encoded to have a heart attack when I'm 50 or, you know, whatever, to be overweight, you know, to be addicted to sugar or whatever it is. There are actually things that are really simple that you can do to turn these off. So, you know, I kind of didn't understand the whole connection there, and I won't ramble too much on this, but I do want to talk about that as well and why this is such a powerful time for that. So first, I'm going to play you a little bit more music. And just to give you the story behind this. So the Sabian symbol for the solar lunar year 2017, which Laura Walker, and I really respect her astrological acumen and her groundedness, you know, just her take on things I think is really helpful. Some days she makes me feel better when nobody else can. Thank you, Laura. I want to send you a shout out. Oh, here we go. We're rambling. Okay, we're coming back to the solar lunar year. But I just want to say, really appreciate your comments, your feedback on my website, dkbrainerd.com, and on my Facebook page, etc. So please keep them coming. Keeps me motivated. Helps me, you know, find the inner resources to just crank this baby out, man. Let me tell you, because sometimes it's tough. You're working on the house, you're doing your day job, you know, your astrology and whatnot all day. You got a kid running around wanting things from you. And at the end of the day, I actually started working on this last night, and at around 2 a.m, it became clear that it was not going to get finished before then. But that keeps me going. And also, if you're listening in a different country on a different continent, you know, send me leave me a comment on my website. Leave me a comment on Facebook so I can give you and your country a shout out next time around. So I'm going to send this one out to Jan in Liverpool. And Jan, don't comment me yet because I have not watched the replay of the Liverpool Derby, the Merseyside Derby. I think that's how y'all say it over there, right? Merseyside Derby, something like that. Everton versus Liverpool. Everton almost never wins. Everton's my team. And I just picked them at random when I decided to get interested in the Premier League a few years ago. I like their blue jerseys. And, of course, it turns out they kind of have like a Detroit-type attitude, which is where I'm from. You know, they're always like just waiting for the team to fuck up and then jump on them. You know, so that kind of bums me out. But I kind of like, and I'm going to say this because I'm not English. I'm not from Liverpool, although I have been to Liverpool and I really enjoyed my stay there. So shout out to Paul Oginski too, who's definitely not listening to this podcast, but aga, 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 if you should happen to chance upon this. Thanks for the hospitality, man. But yeah, I can say this because I don't live there, but I kind of like Liverpool too. I like Jurgen Klopp. I think he's cool. And I love Lallana, man. I mean, just that dude's, how can you not like Adam Lallana, right? But I'm rooting for the Blues, and the Blues have won once in the last 20 derbies. Still haven't watched the game. You know, probably will end up depressing me, so I'll watch it after the podcast. But all that to say, Jan, thanks. I appreciate you. You rock. Jan and I have known each other for a few hundred years. That's another story, though, and I won't get into that because that would probably be an invasion of something. So, yeah, send me a shout-out so I can peep you out on the show. And so the symbol for the Aries new moon is a woman's hat with streamers blown by the east wind. Now, I got to confess to you, a lot of the Sabian symbols to me are like, eh. Laura Walker does a great job of like convincing me that it means something meaningful. But I had actually stopped kind of paying much attention to them for a long time. And this one seems, you know, it's like you could go ahead and kind of pull out your esoteric dictionary and come up with a lot of stuff. And so the stuff that I've seen published, it's, you know, been, well, okay, yeah, but what does that really mean? So Thursday, I was having my every 2 week hangout with my Patreon.com patrons. And it was really like bizarre energy. I mean, it's just with the Aries and with Uranus and Eris and Venus retrograde and all this stuff going on. There are certain days of the week, Tuesdays and Thursdays right now seem to be the real wild cards in some ways. But this one was like, this is like, and finally my old coach, Lisa Buell, who's really awesome. You should check her out if you're looking for a coach. She's like, hey, does anybody have any cards? I think we need to draw a card. You know, we just need to figure out why we're here, what's going on here today. So it turned out everybody but Lisa had a card, and Lisa had a postcard with a picture, I think, of her dog from 20 years ago on it. Some dog. Looked like a happy dog. But the rest of us had, you know, our decks, and everybody pulled something out of a different deck. And so the cards were learn something new. From the some angel deck, I'm not sure which one. The moon, and it was like a really funky, modern art, really cool, fantasy, deep moon card. I pulled Reversal from the William Blake Tarot. And Kate Starr, out on the West Coast, pulled a card that from a deck that she made, which is the image I'm using for the podcast. I think it's really cool. Abandon ignorance, man. I love it. So you kind of put all these together. The moon is like, you know, we're kind of drifting. It's the subconscious. Learn something new. Well, that seems pretty clear. Abandon ignorance. That seems fairly clear. And then the reversal card in the Blake deck, it's kind of like the Hanged Man in the regular tarot. But in the Blake deck, it has a more positive interpretation. And it shows this, you know, very muscly Atlas kind of looking guy down at the bottom of the sea doing a handstand and holding himself in this really beautiful, graceful bow, you know, with the strength of his arms and shoulders. And so there's reversal, but it's actually like this self-chosen reversal, or that's the image that goes with it. And there's this great line in the handbook, which I think is one of the unknown works of genius of the last, I don't know how far you back you want to go, 100 years. The guy who wrote who created the site and created the deck and wrote the notes, just really deep, man, really deep and succinct. Something I might be able to learn something about one of these days. But what the hell? I mean, don't you find me kind of a little bit fascinating? Just a little bit? Yeah, I mean, don't you wonder, like, what is this guy? Where did this guy come from? How does he do this? I mean, what is he doing? Why? Why am I listening? I got really tired on Friday, I guess. Yeah, Friday. And just, like, laying floor. And, you know, it's like, just been working hard on this house for a long time in addition to all the other stuff. And I got to this point where I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go lie down and meditate. Which sometimes is code word for take a nap. But I was like really meditating and I put my like brainwave entrainment music on. And then, so I was lying down on my yoga mat on the floor in the basement. And my wife just like at that point moment where I said, I got to go chill out for a while. She just suddenly decides that's the time where she needs to stomp around upstairs, dusting the house, right? Instead of working on her job. So I just was like, all right, fuck it, man. I go lie down upstairs in Camp Smyrna, you know, still the big communal bedroom that we have set up in the living area. And at least then I won't be hearing the floor, you know, above me. So I go lie down, and then she leaves to go get her son from school, and I fall asleep while I'm listening to the theta. You know, I'm going into deep theta, and I fall asleep. And I wake up, like, right as I'm getting home. And I'm, like, slowly coming back into consciousness. The brainwave stuff is still playing. And I'm just like, wow, that was a great little nap that I took. And this is really amazing. Here I am. I'm lying on this cement floor with just a thin, you know, carpet and a yoga mat under me. And I feel like I'm lying on this soft, cushy mattress. I mean, I actually feel like I'm floating on pockets of air. And deep in my subconscious, there's this like idea that I've finally become, that's how enlightened I've gotten in my nap, in my 30-minute theta meditation. I just reached total enlightenment, right? That now a hard floor feels like floating on a cushion of air. I was just like, this is the most amazing thing ever. I can't wait to tell somebody about this. But I still can't believe it. And I start moving my hand around because I know where I am on the floor in the basement. And I know there's some books under the couch next to me. And I'm kind of reaching, I don't know why, but I'm like going to push those books out of the way or something. And I feel something really soft and like, whoa. And that's when it hit me. Oh, yeah, I came upstairs. I am lying on a very soft, cushy mattress. Oh, my God. It's a beautiful thing. Except when it's not. And then it's just torture. Wandering around for days on end, trying to find something that you know you got to find, but you don't know what it is. And you know you put it somewhere safe. And of course, you're never going to, well, yeah. Okay, so reversal in the Blake Tarot. One of the ways you can read it is the soul is reversing itself or renewing itself by choosing to be itself and not to be controlled by the programming, by the patterns anymore. So you put all those cards together and, okay, we kind of got a meaning coming out. And then Lisa starts telling us, like, you know, what she's been experiencing. And true to the nature of the day is like, well, I don't, yeah, we're all trying to understand. And then we kind of got it, you know, and it's basically like, I've talked to so many people over the last few weeks who are really cool spiritual people who are going through similar experiences where it's like, you know, what the bleep happened, man? It's like, I'm just struggling with stuff. And that's very Venus retrograde as well. And then, of course, we got Mercury retrograde coming up in a week or so. So it's going to be an interesting time. But we'll probably preview that on the next pod. And I had just had a conversation with a colleague of mine who has been doing like inner child work, you know, just into a lot of cool healing modalities, Catherine Taylor. And she kind of was back in the original movement in California years ago. And you know, we were talking about the same thing. And it's this idea that we're really being tested or refined in a way to stay out of the future, you know, and stay out of the past as well. And to keep coming back to the present moment and keep coming back to what makes us feel good. Now, that sounds really simplistic, right? And when you're in a group of people who are all having similar experiences and I mean, we got really excited about it because, you know, it's not, it kind of sucks when you're doing the best you can and it's just like nothing's moving forward, you know, and you barely feel like you're barely getting your needs met. Of course, you know, our version of that in the USA for most of us is far different than in a lot of other places, but it really illuminated that Sabian symbol, which is, you know, my take on it now is the East in all known kind of ancient divination systems, including astrology, the East was always the direction of initiation or of new birth, right? So in astrology, the ascendant, your rising sign, that's the point. It's a really important point in the chart. It's a point that's you in the world because that's where the East was at the time of your birth. So it's this image of there's this wind blowing in from the east, and it's blowing these streamers, you know, which becomes, seems like a really positive image now, the hat, you know, in our minds, our heads. And just like the idea is just to keep coming back to what's good and what we want, and trust that over time, which Blake called time is the mercy of eternity, that, you know, we are going to create that, that it is going to manifest for us. So that reminded me of a couple of weeks ago when I actually got to a point where, it was a really challenging moment and shocking and surprising kind of, I kept getting these fox messages, you know, I'd look over and see the word fox, or I'd draw the fox card or whatever. And fox is one of my key totems. But, you know, I'd see my son would start talking about the fox from a TV show he was watching, like, you know, what does the fox say, Daddy? Well, let me tell you, it says, ning, ning, ding, ding, ning, ning, ning. Yeah. Ilvis, man, don't take me there. Don't take me there. I'll get lost. Oh man, you know, I wish I would have done that song. You know, the fox song, man, they did that song so much better than that record I made with Sam Phillips over there. So I kept seeing this, and all of a sudden I just thought of Emmett Fox, and my brother was really into Emmett Fox for a while. And I'm like, you know, I should look up at Emmett Fox and just Google him and see what he would say about this. And it's like the first site I came to was Emmett Fox's magic key for transformation, for transforming anything. And it was basically like, stop worrying about it and just remember that everything is God. You know, whatever it takes to help you remember that, if it's like thinking about love, God is love, love is everywhere. You know, people, can you feel it? Love is everywhere, right? That's all you need to do. Well, yeah, let me see you do that, Emmett, when you got this thing going on over here, right? But I'm sure he did, and I'm sure he's right. And that's what we were talking about on Thursday, is like, the, you know, just fighting to get back to that place of remembering, hey, everything's God, everything's all right, everything's love. No matter what the government's doing, or, you know, the weather's doing, or the terrorists are doing, or blah, 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 the economy, that's not where we focus. We focus on what's good and, you know, on eternity, which is just, can only be accessed in the present moment, right? When we still the mind. So some days are definitely easier than others in that regard. And this song, which I did not forget about, so there, ha. So this song is actually sort of the picturing or expression of that way of looking at the world. There's actually a couple more parts to it, like prelude parts. It started out life as kind of a suite, you know, that sounds like really classical and sexy and right, learned, but that's how I was thinking of it, as like a, you know, it's three or four pieces that go together, but I don't know where those other pieces are right now, and they weren't done anyway. But it kind of came from this moment where I'm just like, not being able to get into the everything is God, everything is love mentality. And I'm just really stuck in these, you know, perpetual worries and just, you know, imagining how bad things are going to be, et cetera, et cetera. And just my energy's going down and I'm feeling bummed out and depressed. And it was like a heavy day anyway. It was one of those just heavy energy days. And then all of a sudden, boom, thunder, lightning, crack. And there's just huge rain starts coming down. And I went outside in the rain, man, and the birds were still chirping. And it's like, I came back in and I started playing music and everything changed. Everything shifted. So I'm going to play a little bit of it for you. And when we come back, we will talk more about what's going on in the stars and talk a little bit about why you're, or yeah, why you want to like touch base, check in with your ancestors, because they are like wanting to help us big time. And check it out. I mean, who does this? This is a world premiere. It's live. You're hearing it for the first time. I mean, this dude, DK, he working without a net, man. I'm telling you, man, every week he putting something out there, man. And some of this shit is good. Spiritual shit, man. Making you feel good in your heart. You know what I'm saying? You guys should give him some love. Yeah. Wow, man. I mean, pretty much says it all, right? Be here now. But how do we do that, man? You know? We're not the dude, right? Well, some of us are somewhat dude-like. So for me, I mean, that song, you know, which I just, one of those things that kind of flowed through me, but I feel like it, you know, it's like a, you say like, oh, I write these songs, right? I am the naked songwriter. By the way, I'm going to post that at on my Patreon page, patreon.com/naked songwriter. I'll link to it from the podcast page too. So if you want to listen to it in its entirety without breaks and stuff, you're welcome to. I was reading something on one of Amanda Palmer's patrons, and I'd like to give her more money just because I like the way she thinks about certain things and she makes me think. But I noticed that she distributes all of her music under a Creative Commons non-commercial license, and I was like, you know, because I've been thinking a lot about copyright lately, and I'm like, man, I want to do that because I would love it if you, not you specifically, but people who like my music would support it in some way energetically. But it's obvious that the whole paradigm of, you know, like the old evil music industry and stuff, that's one of the things that's on its way out. So, feel free to go check that out. You can probably right-click and download it as well. And I'm also going to post the first version of the song that I played just the instrumental last week. So I'm working on two versions. One of them is Tribe of Dreamers. One of them is New Redeemer. And I just really like, the one that I'm posting, I just did a scratch vocal, which, you know, technical terms for musicians. It's like, it's not the perfect vocal, but you kind of know what most of the words are. And you throw it down so you got something to help you remember where the verses and the choruses are, et cetera. And for the other musicians to play off of. So it's a scratch vocal, but I really like it. And I'll post the new Redeemer one when I get that one done at some point. But this one, everything is perfectly fine in this moment. That actually was inspired by something on Louise Hay's Facebook site, I think. And a different moment where I was feeling like totally shattered, you know, and worried and blah, blah, blah. This was like a couple of years ago. And she's like, you know, everything's fine right now. Like, just lie down and breathe into your belly and just kind of keep affirmations to yourself. Like, everything. I was like, oh, wow, it's a really, you know, yeah. If you take the future and the past out of the equation, you know, it's like, well, right now I'm breathing, you know, I'm all right. It's kind of okay. So this song to me expresses like the two things that really help me when I'm struggling with the monkey mind thoughts. And again, like I said in last week's podcast, there's really amped up, man, that the pressure, the oppression, the heavy psychic bombardment to try to get those of us who are revolutionary Renaissance people and who know we came here to create this more joyful world or help it be born, help midwife it into existence. You know, there's a lot of pressure and it comes in waves. And when it hits you, man, it can be like, whoa, how do I ever get back to that, you know, remembrance that everything's fine, man. In eternity, everything's great. You know, don't have to worry about a thing. And for me, being out in nature, you know, especially now that spring in the ATL, man, I can go out barefoot again and just listening to the birds and everything's flowering. It's so beautiful. Everything's coated with a fine, thick dust of yellow gold, golden pollen. Oh, thank God that's one of the things I'm not allergic to. But just so beautiful. And any nature, you know, that will reconnect us to ground us back into Mother Earth, reconnect us. And then for me, it's like just making music, you know, it's like, I gotta do it. And for so long, it was something that was considered optional, you know, cause I was trying to be like what I thought I was supposed to be, somebody else's version of me. And now I realize like if I go 2 days and I'm not singing, I haven't sung or played something, either one works, you know, I can just be singing in the car. That works too, singing in the shower. But those are like epigenetic kind of practices that will turn on the positive gene messages and turn off the negative gene messages. And there's so many ways of doing it. But, you know, that's for me, if I'm out in nature, if I'm going for a walk, or if I'm playing my guitar, or I'm singing, or I'm working on a song, on a project. And it's really the same thing if I'm coloring with my kids, you know. But that, in those moments, I'm not worrying anymore. I'm back to being God in me, you know, everything God, everything nature. So a lot of ways to do that, but just, you know, friendly, encouraging reminder from your old Uncle D that it's really important for us to connect with these things now. So I want to hit the ancestors real quick because, man, like I was saying earlier, Diana and I, you know, we offered this because it's what we're interested in, one of the things we're passionate about right now. And, you know, kind of went into it like with no idea how it'd be received and, you know, but knowing it was going to be good because we had good energy going in. It has been so powerful. I mean, so, you know, a good tip off was we did this free intro call a couple weeks ago and I start channeling I tuned into the energy of my great uncle John and started crying on the call and I like couldn't stop crying and I'm like, where it's all video. So I could see Diana over there being like, do I need to intervene? Does he need help? Like what's going on? I'm like, no, it's good crying. It was so healing. And then I had another, I had one of those days, I think it was Tuesday. Tuesdays have been the rough days for me lately. More often than not than other days. But yeah, it was Tuesday, and I was just like so tired and just having this, felt sad, and you know, I'm like, I'm gonna go take a nap. And then I'm like, not falling asleep, not sleeping. And I'm like, you know, man, here I am. I did this meditation for the people taking the class, and I haven't done it myself yet. And, you know, that just doesn't feel right to me. But I don't want to do it now. But come on, man, you know, just like at least be open to it. All right, I'll be open to it. And I go into this like just instantly transported to, I think, like 1400s Germany. And there's this guy there, man. And I don't think I'm going to tell you the whole story right now. You know, just time is getting late, clock time. And that's not it. It just it doesn't feel right to share the whole thing. But I started crying again. I told my wife about it like an hour later when we were like at Starbucks going to the Home Depot to get more supplies. And I start crying, like, you know, in the Starbucks parking lot. And it's just like, and I don't even kind of know why, you know, the way it ended up. But it was so healing, and it was so easy for me to see that this guy that I interacted with, and I don't feel like it was me. You know, I've done a lot of past life work with my own representation in past lives. And I felt like this was somebody in my extended family, ancestry, lineage, blah, blah. But, you know, he was like a father, and he was trying to be a good provider, but he wasn't being a good dad. And he was able to heal that, you know, in this vision. And I don't know how to describe how the shamanic things work. You know, I mean, most of you listening to this have probably done it yourself, so you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who don't, it's, you know, you're going into these, you're crossing dimensions, and then you know something happened because you have this release of, you know, and you loosen up and you feel free again. You know, it's kind of like smoking dope or something, but better. Yeah, it was really powerful. And one of the things that it tuned me in to, and talking to Diana as we were preparing for this Sunday's class, and sorry, this course is closed, but if you're interested, I think we're going to offer it again around Halloween. You know, the cross quarter day in the fall. So stay tuned, you know, keep in touch, get on my email list or Diana's email list. But we're talking about, you know, what a huge thing the bad dad, bad father is in our society, what a huge influence it is on pretty much everybody. And it's like, even if you grew up with a good father, you know, personally in your family, we've all grown up under the bad father of patriarchal dominator society, you know? So the rapacious corporations, you know, the bureaucratic, you know, just rules oriented, totally not feeling, not human government systems, and on and on and on. The Matrix, right? It's very traditionally male, like dominate, you know, go in, take all the resources, you know, leave a burnout shell, because what do you fucking care anyway, right? So, and then it hit me, like Aries, of course, Aries is the emperor in the tarot. It's the archetypal father. And, you know, so that father, I feel like there's a huge opportunity here for us with that energy in the next 3 weeks or so to do some major healing. And what we're trying to get to is that we're not, you know, playing out a bunch of anger, resentment, grief, because usually people will go one of two ways with the abuse energy. And again, you know, what one of the things I learned from Diana is that any of that abuse energy, it turns on these negative gene messages that predispose us to all these things that we don't want. So one of the ways we can turn it back off is by, you know, healing or balancing, transforming the inner emperor, the inner father figure, which, again, society-wide in Western civilization, probably in most of the world, has been really damaged for us since, you know, day one. And what we're trying to get to is that, you know, now we have the inner masculine, which is balanced. And it's not, you know, either completely shut out, and so then it has to act out, you know, and rebel, or it's not in this overbearing kind of position, which would be control freak. You know, it'd be, I'm thinking all the time. I'm going to manage this and I'm going to manage that. And how do I deal with that? And, you know, not being in the moment at all, because all of that is based in what happened in the past that you're projecting forward into the future. So there's really kind of tremendous opportunity right now. And the ancestors are so around us, you know, and so just bear with me if you can't see multidimensionally, but it's like the other thing I got from my personal experience, which intellectually I've tuned into before, but I really felt it, is how much they really want to be honored for living through these hard times. I mean, we think we live in a hard time, right? You know, just think of the way people lived in the Middle Ages or like in London in, you know, 1600, 1700, right? You know, just throwing your shit out the window on the street. Like, I mean, things like, you know, there were times and places where life was really good. But all in all, I mean, I think in some ways they had it a lot harder than a lot of us do. And it's like this is such a key transformational point in, you know, if you want to look linear time in thousands of years of timeline. And it's like they are crowding in right now to say, hey, we want to help you. We want to help you, because helping us helps them. And so, you know, there's lots of ways that you can connect with them. And I'm not going to tell you how to do that. You can do that research, but highly encourage that. And by the way, if you want to do some of this with me, I'm really great at leading journeys and at getting you into really cool places in the inner world, you know, past, future, other dimensions. So check it out, man, dkbrainer.com. I got some time, you know, you'll be keeping me from laying on a floor in another room. And trust me, I could use a break every now and then. But, you know, whatever you can do to work with that now. It's really powerful during the Venus retrograde and the Mercury retrograde and this very intense transformational Aries. You know, got a full moon coming up where Pluto and Uranus are going to be back in the picture. So things are kind of crazy, but what we want to tune into again is like, hey, what brings us back to that moment of goodness? And yeah, I just want you to know, like while the song was playing, I got up and lit a candle and just asked the angels to help anybody who's struggling out there. You know, it's, this hasn't been an easy time the last few years for a lot of people. And, you know, if you got a good heart, I just want you to believe that life wants the best for you, because I really believe it does. And we're going to make it through. Well, as the song, Tribe of Dreamers says, you know, well, you have to listen to it. Head over to my Patreon page. All right, I hope you just really enjoyed this as much as I did hanging out with you. See, this is nonlinear time. I feel like we're hanging out. We're having a conversation. I can see you out there. You're looking at me with this big, goofy, you know. I always just go to drug references. You know, it's not like drugs, man. I can't take them anymore, but I sure did love them, you know, when they were working. So here's me outing myself again. You know, now you know I'm an alien, all right? I told you that a few weeks ago. I also believe that the only point of spirituality, blah, 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 is just to try to find a better way to get high, you know, because the drugs aren't working anymore. And the Dalai Lama and I have rapped about this. He's on the same page. You know, he's like, man, if they made a pill that I could count on, I would be there. I'd be the first one to sign up for it. But, you know, it's like, why not? Why should we not experience pleasure and bliss? You know, we're here for such a short time and it's such a really intense, beautiful environment. We should be digging it, man, right? Okay, till next time, this is astrologer DK Brainerd. And listen to that song. Listen to the Everything is Perfectly Fine song with some good headphones on. Crank it up. You'll go somewhere, trust me. So, shamanic trance weaver, DK Brainerd, saying, till next time we meet. may you go with the stars.
I know the sun gonna shine.